Welcome to Home Space and Reason, a podcast about creating a home that thrives.
Hi there, I'm Christina Browning, your host.
If you know your home could be so much more than it is, I discuss home functionality, aesthetics, and automation. I'm a realtor in Portland, Oregon, and a home functionality coach. I geek out on every subject imaginable regarding your home and yard, challenging you to think of your space differently to get the most out of every square foot. I pose questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. This podcast is all positive, offering you virtual fist bumps and celebrating every win. Remember, there's no such thing as perfect, but you can still aim for your best. Follow along on social media under the handle Space and Reason. In this episode, let's discuss fireplaces. Because I love history so much, I'd like to start out by reading you an excerpt on the history of fireplaces, pages 71 to 73 of The Elements of a Home, a book by Amy Azzarito. Since primordial man discovered fire, the pull of the flame has attracted all humanity. So potent is its appeal that the word focus is Latin for fireplace. While contemporary fireplaces are used mostly as a design and social focal point, for thousands of years the fireplace was a necessary source of heat and light. All medieval homes, whether a humble peasant hut or a great English manor, were built around a simple open hearth. Very much like building a campfire in the center of a home. Talk about smoke inhalation issues. Families would gather around the fireplace to cook and eat, tell stories, and sleep. It was so essential to everyday life that the hearth fire was rarely allowed to die out. In some homes, it remained lit for generations. By the mid-14th century, fireplaces had moved from the center of the room to the wall and were added to bedrooms in addition to the main living space. This important development was enabled by improved, harder bricks, which made for more heat-resistant chimneys. In addition, a hood was added over the fireplace grate to catch smoke, much like the hood vent over our modern stove. Because they lacked an efficient flute, fireplaces of the time didn't provide as much warmth as the old open hearth. Bigger fires yielded slightly warmer rooms, and so wall fireplaces grew accordingly. Some were large enough to accommodate benches inside so people could get as close to the flames as possible. These supersized hearths required a lot of fuel. Many households went through 1 to 2 tons of wood per year. For the next 300 years, while fireplace technology remained essentially the same, decor became as important as function when it came to designing a room. Designers seized on the mantle as another opportunity to adorn a room and showcase materials, including elaborately carved mahogany, colored marble, and gilded decorations. The mirror and mantle combo, still popular today, dates back to 1690 and was made possible when the French developed the technology to produce full-length mirrors. Soon, the marble mantle with a huge mirror became a de rigueur feature for important rooms. The combination allowed those seated around the fire to look up and be apprised of the goings-on in the room at a glance. The fireplace mantle was also the place to display treasures. Small clocks, still called mantelpiece clocks, were designed just for that purpose. Porcelain vases, candlesticks, and candelabras were also given pride of place on the mantle. The mantle may have looked great, but the lack of technological advancement in heating systems meant that people were still cold. The fireplace produced an uneven, shallow heat and drew cold outside air into the room. Smoke and ash were an annoyance, particularly in the 18th century, when lighter colored fabrics became fashionable. In November 1750, King Louis XV's mistress, Madame de Pompadour, threw a party at her newly renovated Chateau Bellevue. The fireplaces operated so poorly that all the rooms continuously filled with smoke. The party was supposed to last for several days, but after the first soot-filled evening, her guests left to find clearer air. By the 19th century, builders began to realize that bigger was not always better when it came to fireplaces. The larger the chimney opening, the more heat escaped up the flue. More efficient enclosed wood-burning stoves began to supplant the fireplace in continental Europe, Scandinavia, and the United States. A bit less often in Britain. The stove was often the central feature of a combined living and kitchen area, and many incorporated hot plates for cooking. Despite the availability of alternative methods of heat like central hot air and steam heat, the fireplace, with its unique warmth and light, remained a must-have well into the 20th century. Architect Frank Lloyd Wright loved to see the fire burning deep in the masonry of the house itself, and included a cavernous hearth, and sometimes four or five, in nearly every one of his designs. Throughout the course of his career, Wright designed more than 1,000 of them. As the 20th century progressed, homeowners wanted the cozy ambiance a fireplace gave a room, but didn't need the heat or want the mess that came with burning wood. In the late 1970s, fireplaces powered by natural gas or propane became available, soon followed by electric fireplaces with realistic flames in the early 1980s. While the fireplace is no longer necessary to heat our homes or cook our food, it survives as a symbol of familial warmth and solidarity and remains a welcome luxury. Real estate experts estimate a fireplace can boost a home's resale value by as much as $12,000. Whether it's a clean-lined electric floating piece or a vintage stone surround with a gas insert, it can add pyro magic to any room. It is, as Wright said, the heart of the whole and of the building itself. Relaxing in front of a crackling fire is one of the most enjoyable ways to spend a cold winter evening, and scientists know why. Watching a fire lowers blood pressure, according to a 2014 University of Alabama study. The researchers, led by anthropologist Christopher Lynn, asked 226 adults to watch a video of a fireplace and took their blood pressure before and after watching the video. They also asked participants to report on their experiences of the fire. The researchers found an average of a 5% decrease in blood pressure among participants who watched the fire with sound. The longer they watched the fire, the more relaxed they became. Having a calm focus of attention could help reduce anxiety. Fireplaces are often the focal point of a room, so let's discuss the aesthetics of them for a moment. I've been into homes where the fireplace sticks out and nothing was placed on either side, architecturally speaking, which makes it sometimes feel awkward. I love the look of built-in shelving to flank either side of a fireplace, making it both functional for storage and pleasing to the eye. Whether it's half height or all the way to the ceiling, I feel like built-ins are just a win. I spoke with Jessica Dudley about her experience when she restored an older home when I interviewed her for episode 53, a story about a home that encourages healing.
So one of the things that was really important to us when buying an old home was to honor the history of the home. We when we were looking at homes, I mean, and we probably saw 50 homes, it was so sad seeing how poorly some of those homes had been remodeled and how they didn't honor the history of the home and the architecture. And so with the fireplace, I spent so many hours looking at 1910 to 1920 fireplaces and what that whole situation looked like. And then we worked with a custom cabinet maker to build cabinets around the fireplace and just kind of a classic craftsman style.
And the end result came out beautifully. See photographs of her renovation and journey on Instagram by searching the handle Thankful Bungalow. Let's talk briefly about adding built-in bookshelves like she did. If you're going to have them built, think about where you want power, especially for plugging in lights, maybe sitting on top of half-high built-ins. Or if you want Christmas lights mixed in with your garland during the holidays, where will those plug-ins be at? Yes, sometimes we have to resort to battery power, but if you're building them from the bottom up anyway, it's good to think those details through. Sometimes having a row that have doors on them at the bottom is beneficial, especially if you're hiding unsightly toys or electronics. Now let's talk about tile around your fireplace. Tile can be super trendy, making a fireplace absolutely adorable for the next 6 years until it goes out of style. And then it's kind of a pain to update. It's doable, but you would be surprised at how many people comment when I'm taking them home shopping how they don't like the fireplace tile. And despite me saying it can easily be updated, it still ends up in the negative column for them because it just may never get done. Some people don't know what kind of choice to make when it comes to tile. Here's what I would tell you without seeing the space. If you want longevity, go with black. Black tile around a fireplace blends in with the metal inset if it's a gas fireplace and looked just as incredible in the 1920s as it did in the 1980s as it does today. It can change with the times if you go with simple black. Black tile, black grout. If you're building around your fireplace, and if you have a wood-burning fireplace, keep in mind to build in space for wood to be stored. I have seen stunning vertical openings for stacked wood that is both functional and beautiful. A quick Google search and you'll see many examples of this. Let's shift to the topic of wood or gas. Let's think about the space and the reasons. Whether you're building and have a choice, or if you're looking for a home and are creating a wish list of what you'd like, let's think about both options for a moment. With wood, there is nothing that matches the smell of wood burning in the fireplace in the winter and the crackle of it. It's got all the feels. It's so closely entwined with romance that they're almost inseparable. Whether it's the romance of the holidays or the idea of what cozy feels like, there's almost no separating a wood-burning fireplace from that concept. But with the pros come the cons. Wood-burning fireplaces are messy. Hauling in wood, the removal of the soot and ashes, that causes a mess, and cleanup will be required. Sometimes the pop of the fire equals an ember ejecting onto your flooring, whether that's carpet or wood. Sometimes there's damage around fireplace hearths, depending on your diligence for shutting the screens or doors. You'll need to buy or cut your own wood and stack it out of the weather so you have dry wood to burn. Some look at this as an opportunity to move your body and get some good exercise. Others would rather have a root canal. If you're in the latter category, perhaps giving your fire fuel by flipping a switch is more ideal in your home. You'll sacrifice the snap, crackle, pop for the anytime convenience of having fire exactly when you want it, even if it's only for a few minutes. We love to turn the fireplace on in the morning while we enjoy coffee or cocoa before school, while we watch the birds and have our morning conversation. This simply wouldn't be a thing if we had to haul in wood and manually start a fire. Both wood and gas fireplaces are lovely for their own unique reasons. Now let's think about storage possibilities. If you are building around your fireplace, and if you have a wood-burning fireplace, keep in mind you'll need to build in space for the wood to be stored unless you want it sitting out in a log holder of some sort, which does take up some room. Depending on what part of the world you live in, you may have room for this and opt for it. I have seen stunning vertical openings for stacked wood that is both functional and beautiful. I've also seen the most impressive Instagram video by Sarah Pullman, where she's built space behind her fireplace for storage. Imagine it bumps out from the wall by 12 inches or so, the fireplace does. And so as you might be able to imagine in your head, the two sides on the left and right side slide forward, exposing storage for routers and other unsightly things. My question is, does this block the signals? I'm not exactly the tech type, but I would wonder if it still works when it's behind that wall. We should ask her, huh? Anytime you can build in storage in a space that wouldn't otherwise be used, I am all about it. You can see this video on my Instagram feed. I downloaded it and reposted it and tagged her in it if you'd like to have a look at it for yourself. My Instagram handle is Space and Reason. Now let's talk about real estate transactions for a quick second. If you're buying or selling a home with a wood stove or a fireplace insert in Oregon, you must ensure that it was certified to meet emissions performance standards at the time of manufacture. If it was not certified, our state law requires it to be removed, destroyed, and disposed of when a home is sold. The home buyer or seller must report to DEQ that the stove or insert was decommissioned. How do you tell if your wood stove or fireplace insert is certified? You need to locate an Oregon DEQ or US EPA certification label on the back of the unit. Certification occurs at the time of manufacturing and cannot be granted to devices that are already in use. DEQ recommends taking removed and destroyed uncertified wood stoves and fireplace inserts to a scrap metal dealer or a metal recycling facility. If you don't have a mantle for your fireplace, consider adding one. It seems every time I have a listing with a fireplace that doesn't have a mantle, my sellers tell me they've never liked the fireplace, but just don't know how to tackle adding a mantle, so it gets put off. This isn't just one client. Literally every time I have a seller who has a fireplace without a mantle, it's a negative rub, like an unfinished project sitting in the middle of their space, reminding them of a job unfinished all of the time, even if it wasn't their job to begin with. You can literally buy a fireplace mantle by Googling it and choosing the right look for your space. They're often hollow, making the shipping reasonable, since we're on the topic. You can also choose one that has hidden storage in it, where the front or sides open, exposing hidden storage. Really, it's a no-brainer. Just please do this if you have the option to. I'll link to Etsy with some makers that offer mantles with hidden storage. If you know a talented woodworker, like we have one in our neighborhood, they may also be an option to add something personal and lovely made just for you. Maybe that's the holiday gift to yourself, as an investment in your daily experience of living in your home which will also help you when it comes time to sell. Let's talk about styling fireplace mantles for a moment. Whenever you have a flat, long surface, whether it's a countertop, a tabletop, or a mantle, the temptation is real to just fill it and maybe even overfill it by accident. Just because a space is there and it's vacant doesn't mean you need to fill it. I would challenge you to look first at photos of fireplace mantles that you are attracted to, and then dissect how they're styled and why you like them. Is it tastefully decorated for the holidays? And what does that mean as it pertains to your fireplace mantle? How much is in the photo? What components are there? And is it asymmetrical or not? Can you mimic what you love exactly and resist adding more? So, if in the photo that you love, there's one long, sparse sprig of greenery, just for example, three books, and a wooden, chunky candle holder with a taper candle in it, can you mimic those components? Let's talk about three common mistakes. Don't put a bunch of objects in a line. Don't use too many small objects. Pay attention to scale here. And don't ignore the vertical space. The most important space to fill isn't always the mantle itself. It's the vertical space above it, unless there's a TV directly above it, in which case you may want your most substantial styling pieces to be either on the left or right side of your TV. The DIY Playbook website has a great little blog post about styling a mantle, and it includes photos of great examples and the components of it, and I'm going to link to it in the podcast notes. If you have a love for fireplaces, maybe you could plan a trip around it. I want to bring light some fabulous fireplaces out in the world. The Paradise Inn in Washington's Mount Rainier National Park has two giant stone hearths and might be ideal to put on your radar for a potential getaway. Built in 1916, this historic guest lodge sits in the shadow of Mount Rainier, surrounded by mountain meadows lush with wildflowers. Paradise Inn is a National Historic Landmark designated as one of the Great Lodges of the West. Miles of hiking trails are just outside the front door, with panoramic views of glaciers and waterfalls. Others that can be on your radar featuring glorious fireplaces are the Mendocino Hotel and Garden Suites in Mendocino, California, Old Faithful Inn at Yellowstone National Park, and the Inn at Death Valley in California. All of these are listed in my podcast notes, complete with links to see photos and find out more. Have your fireplace clean and inspected. I know this isn't the funnest part of this topic, but especially if you've never done this and you've lived in your home for more than a couple years, a good chimney sweep company will make sure the fireplace is safe to use, and it can also identify maintenance problems that can be amplified over the years if you don't know about them. This will eliminate safety hazards day to day and headaches when you go to sell. And this issue comes to light during the sale. I assure you, that is no fun. While you're hanging out and having that chimney swept, you can ask your smart home device to play the Home Space and Reason podcast by Apple and easily listen on any smart home device. And now for a question to ask yourself about your home space and your reason. Grab a pen and paper. And then I'm going to drill down further on that one question after that. Here's the question. Do I like the way my fireplace looks as a whole? If your answer is no, What particular part don't I like? If it's the tile, can you make a goal to start looking for what you want to replace it with? Can you call a tile and flooring company right now and see about having someone come out and measure it for you so you know exactly what you're dealing with? You know more about the scope, and that way you can make an educated decision. Can this be your next birthday or Christmas gift? If the part you don't like is the surround, or maybe lack thereof, can you add a surround, or is it the color of the existing surround? That might be the mantle, that might be the built-ins, that might be the wall color. Can you paint it? Can you refinish it? Can you have built-ins added once and for all? If so, are they half high or are they full height all the way to the ceiling? If you feel like your fireplace wall just lacks and you're not sure why, perhaps I can help. I can do home functionality sessions by the hour and on Zoom if you need it to be. And sometimes it's just a quick 1 hour Zoom call to ask the right questions and get the right suggestions in order for you to move forward on your own. If you do like your fireplace and you like how it looks, how it functions, and how the space feels, I would like to challenge you to invite a good friend over this winter for a delightful warm drink and an unpretentious get-together requiring no planning and no fussy clothes. Just call them and get it on the calendar. Connection is where it's at, and usually there's no better place to spark great conversation than around the fireplace. If you haven't listened to episode 33 yet, it's about revising and finishing things, along with paying attention to how we talk to ourselves in our own heads. I also shared that fretting about the future or worrying about the past is not helpful. I shared Arianna Huffington's words that resonated with me. The post read in part, "Even our worst enemies don't talk about us the way we talk to ourselves about ourselves." I call this voice the obnoxious roommate living in our head. It feeds on putting us down, judging us, and doubting us. It's time to evict our obnoxious roommates. So grab a cup of tea or something warm, sit in front of your fireplace, and listen to episode 33. If you've listened to this podcast from the very beginning, but you still feel like you'd like more thoughts and visuals on home, space, and reason, sign up for my email newsletter, Little Bits of Home Functionality. It comes just once a week and is intentionally short. Find the link to sign up in the podcast notes. Also, follow along on social media by searching for the handle Space and Reason. When you buy a home with a realtor who is also a home functionality coach, you get the added value of an expert to think through with you how the space can be used to its best and highest potential, specific to the needs and the passions and the values of your family. If you're thinking of buying, use an agent that has dual expertise. If you happen to know someone in the market to buy in the greater metro Portland, Oregon area, kindly send them my way. The finest compliment I could receive is the confidence of your referral. If you enjoyed this show, please take a moment to rate it or share it. Thanks for sitting in on this conversation about creating a home that thrives. I'll meet you back here for the next episode.